Today meditation is about the Eightfold Path. So the Eightfold Path is consisting of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So what is this right view? The right view is the knowledge of suffering, the knowledge of the origin of suffering, the knowledge of the cessation of suffering, and the knowledge of the way of practice leading to the cessation of suffering. That is understanding about the Four Noble Truths. So Four Noble Truths is also explained in the website. So there's the Noble Truth of suffering. And then here Buddha is saying, what monk is the Noble Truth of suffering? Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, sadness and distress are suffering. Union with what is displeasing is suffering. Separation from what is pleasing is suffering. Not getting what one wants is suffering. In short, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. So there is this birth, aging, sickness and death, which we are going to learn in a little while. And then Buddha is saying in the second noble truth, the noble truth of the origin of suffering, it is that craving which gives rise to rebirth, accompanied by pleasure and delight, finding fresh delight here, delight now, here and there. That is to say craving for sensuality, craving for existence, craving for non-existence. There are three kind of craving mentioned over here. So the craving for sensuality, craving for existence, and craving for non-existence. How do we going to understand this one? Let us say you work and then you earn quite a lot of money, and then in the same time you pay quite a lot of bills. Electricity bill, gas bill, your rent and so on. So having paid all those bills, so you left with sort of, let's say, $10 or so. So then you think, okay, I will have some fun. And then you are going to buy mangoes. So the mango dealer is selling two types of mangoes. One pile is bit rotten. The other pile is good, like polished ones. The rotten pile he is selling for $10 or less. The good ones he is selling for $20 or more. What you have is $10, then you think, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I will take this rotten mango and, you know, pay the $10 and then cut down the rotten part, eat the mango and live a life. So when you are eating a mango, then you get a pleasure. So because of the pleasure, you get the craving for sensuality. Now you define your life. You think, this is what I am going to do. Hereafter I earn money, pay quite a lot of bills, and then save $10 and have a mango and eat, have a life. So then you define. So therefore you get the craving for existence. Now you are happy to exist. You know, if you were to pay all the bills, you know, no fun, then you don't want to go on. Now since you had this happiness, now you are happy to exist. After some times you are saying, it is okay for me to not to have those, that mango, but whatever means, if I am going to have that pleasure when I eat the mango, then I am happy to live. So that is called craving for non-existence. This craving for non-existence does not mean that you don't want to exist, but rather it would say that I am happy to live apart from the mango. Mango is the form. So I am happy to live apart from the mango, but I am still demanding, let me have the pleasure that I have used to have when I eat the mango. So that is the craving for non-existence. And Buddha is saying, where does this craving arises and establish? Whenever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is this craving arises and establish. When your eye is enticing and pleasurable, the craving gets established. Ear is enticing and pleasurable, the craving gets established. And in the third noble truth, Buddha is saying, noble truth of the cessation of suffering. It is the complete fading away and extinction of craving, its forsaking, abandonment, liberation from it, detachment from it. And how does this craving come to be abandoned? How does its cessation come about? Wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is the cessation comes about. See, when the eye is enticing and pleasurable, you get the craving getting established, and that is the place to remove it as well. So here we are talking about the getting rid of the all these three types of craving. Craving for sensuality, craving for existence, craving for non-existence. And in the fourth noble truth, Buddha is saying the noble truth of the way of practice leading to the cessation of suffering. It is just this noble eightfold path, namely right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness and right concentration. So we started with the right view. And in the right view, we understand that it is suffering. And then the suffering is created by this craving. So would you repeat it like a parrot? There is suffering. This suffering is created by craving. You take a decision. Well, because of the craving that this is happening, so let me give up this craving part. So that is, you are renouncing. So you can see we are now coming to the thought of renunciation. So that is the right thought. Thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. So they are linked to each other as well. To the extent you have thought of renunciation, to that extent you have thought of non-malevolence. To the extent you have thought of non-malevolence, to that extent you have thought of non-harm. How do we understand that one? Let us say you want to buy a pirate dish. One day there was an ad on TV saying that these pirate dishes, they have reduced to 50%. So now you want to have this one, so you get dressed and then go to supermarket. And then unfortunately other people have seen this ad and they have taken only one left. So two people are running and putting their both hands to this pirate dish. What will happen? One would be dragging in one person's direction, the other person would be dragging in the other person's direction. So there will be a fight, isn't it? But if there is a greed, non-greed person, that person would be saying, okay, I don't want this one, you have it. Then the other person would be saying, thank you, and taking it. So there, to the extent you can give up a pirate dish, to that extent you have non-malevolence. To the extent you have non-malevolence, non-ill-will, to that extent you have non-harm, there is no fight in this particular case. These three paths form three paths, that is this non-greed, non-hate and non-delusion. The thought of renunciation is the non-greed path, thought of non-malevolence is the non-hate path, thought of non-harming is the non-delusion path. So now I am in a good practice. See, from the right view, we came to the right thought. Having understood that it is suffering, we gave up. So that is thought of renunciation. Now I am in a good practice. Now, since I am following through the Eightfold Path, if there is anything in the greed path, that would be an obstruction to me. What are the things that are in the greed path? The line is in the greed path. Since I am following through the non-greed path, I will be giving up lying. Similarly, the thought of non-malevolence, that is the non-hate path. Since I am following through the non-hate path, I will be giving up things that are in the hate path. What are the things that are in the hate path? The slander as well as the harsh speech is that they are in the hate path. So I will be giving up that one. That would be an obstruction for me to do that one. So I am following through the non-harming path, that is the non-delusion path. It is in the delusion path that we have frivolous talks. Since I am following through the non-delusion path, I will be giving up frivolous talks. So now you can see, from the right view, we got the right thought. In other words, right thought proceeds from the right view. And the right speech proceeds from the right thought. Because I am following non-greed, non-hate, non-delusion path, I gave up. Since I am following through the non-greed path, I will be giving up things that are in the greed path. What are the things in the greed path? that is taking what is not given. Stealing is in the greed path. So I'll be giving up the taking what is not given. Similarly, I am going through, following through the non-hate path. It is in the hate path that we have taken life. Since I am following through the non-hate path, I'll be giving up taking life. And then again, I am following through the non-harming path, that is the non-delusion path. It is in the delusion path we have sexual misconduct. So since I am following through the non-delusion path, I'll be giving up sexual misconduct. So now you can see I come from right speech to right action. So right livelihood proceeds from the right action. So what is right livelihood? Here, RN disciple, having given up wrong livelihood, keeps himself by right livelihood. So it says that a Buddhist monk, for example, is not cutting down trees. They are not supposed to even draw a line on the sand because little creatures underneath that sand will die. Although Buddha mentioned in that sort of a description, right livelihood is a really bigger one. And it was Sahapati Mahabrahma who told me that from the right livelihood, you get rid of the conceit, I am. So those days, that one is a sort of a far apart things for me, because the wrong livelihood and the conceit. The right livelihood, you get rid of the conceit. I will explain that one using an example. Let us say there is a starvation time on earth and there are no food. But fortunately you have eaten and there are two packets of noodles left in your cupboard. So you go after eating, you go to street, then you can see people are going here and there looking for food. What is the thought that is coming to your mind? Is it the thought, oh, these poor people? Or is it the thought that I have two packets of noodles at my home? It is the thought that I have two packets of noodles at my home, in my cupboard, is the one coming to you first, because me comes first. So because of the two packets of noodles, you become arrogant. So not only two packets of noodles, you have houses, you have cars, properties, money, and all those things. Then we become arrogant. I saw this one in a temple. You see, we went to the temple to offer food to the monk. The monk, having eaten food, and he was saying that we didn't have food yesterday. So we were very sad, and then we were talking to him, and then he was smiling. And then we were asking why he was smiling, and then he was saying that there were two packets of noodles in the temple. Then we boiled them and then we ate it. So because of the two packets of noodles, that monk become arrogant, you know. Otherwise he would be thinking, now this is the problem this, you know, the layperson is having. He is going to work and earn money for this, earning this food. So if he did not have this food, two packets of noodles, then he would be thinking the suffering nature. Now since he had the two packets of noodles, you know, sort of smiling. This is why Buddha is not allowing monks to have raw things, raw food like rice and things in their premises. They can't even have salt in their premises. Now if you have those things, then you actually, you know, looking for the taste and all those things. So now, as we can understand, we don't have right livelihood. We live from wrong livelihood. So this, who has got this right livelihood? A Buddhist monk who is going in the alms round, not taking money. Only that person has got the right livelihood. Even if you're going alms round, if you are taking money, then you don't have the right livelihood. Because from the money you can buy anything, isn't it? You can buy even meals and so on for the night time also. Any sensual pleasures you can buy from those things. So We don't have right livelihood. We live from wrong livelihood. So these two things, this right action and the right livelihood, is a form a part of a meditation. Noble Eightfold Path meditation, consisting of four meditations. That is this Bhavitakaya in Pali, that is the development of body, and then the development of virtue, development of mind, and development of wisdom. So these are the words written in Pali, the ones within bracket. So the development of body is consisting of this right action and the right livelihood. So by doing that one, what you are going to get is the concentration due to desire, Chanda Samadhi in Pali. If you understand one day that consciousness is not lasting, then the desire for non-lasting consciousness will subside, and the desire for lasting consciousness come to arise. That is Nibbana. The desire for lasting Nibbana come to arise. So what is helping us to have this concentration due to desire? It is the right action and the right livelihood. So when you don't have right action, what you have is the wrong action. That is killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Now, how does the right action help? You see, if you have a wrong action like killing, can you kill an animal without taking a long breath? By the time you think that I will kill that animal, you take a long breath. When you're lifting up a knife to kill the animal, you take a long breath. When you are stabbing, also you are taking a long breath. So if you are not going to do that one, then you are not going to breathe in. You know, you are not going to take a long breath to think that I will kill. You are not going to take a long breath to stab the animal, and so on. So with that one, the cessation of inhaling and exhaling, and with that one, you go into the fourth jhana concentration. And then from that one, you get the concentration due to desire. And again, the stealing is in wrong action. You know, on a Sunday afternoon, normally if you are a person who is working, Sunday afternoon you are getting a long breath that tomorrow I have to go to work. So going to work is considered as stealing. We will explain this one on the third day of the course. So then for that, if you are not going to go to work, then you don't have to breathe in, you know, that I have to go to work. So with that one, there is the cessation of inhaling and exhaling. And then you read the fourth jhana concentration. From the fourth jhana concentration, you get the concentration due to desire. So what is helping the right livelihood, right action, the right livelihood? How does it help? Can you take a plate in your hand, go to next door neighbor and say, I'm trying to watch TV and have fun, have children. Could you please help me? Other person will chase you out. But a Buddhist monk can go to other person's house and say, having known there is suffering in the world, I'm trying to get rid of it. Could you please help me? Then that person will give some food. So today how we were raised? We were raised, you stand from your own feet. You earn, you know, learn and earn money. Don't go for begging. But what Buddha is saying, if you want to end this samsara, going from birth to birth, then that sort of livelihood is not, you know, not making the way for you to do that one. So you need to become sort of a Buddhist monk and then go in the arms round and then, you know, not doing any work. You know, in other words, getting rid of the stealing part and then live a life. So right livelihood, take your conceit away. You know, you have the conceit that I am such and such, I am an engineer, I am a doctor, I have to behave this way, I have to live such and such a life. So we have become arrogant. So the purpose of the right livelihood, that you don't You have less conceit, therefore you are happy to take a plate in your hand and go for arms round and sort of beg for food or things to end this samsara. So there will be one above from this one, from the Eightfold Path, and the one below. And that is called development of virtue. Development of virtue consisting of right speech and right effort. And that will lead to concentration due to mind. It's called Chitta Samadhi. So this, to explain this concentration due to mind, let us say that you are studying for an exam. And then two people are coming near you and then they start talking. So they have these frivolous talks. And then your mother or father is saying, please go somewhere and talk, let this child study. And now they are not nearby you. You can't hear their noises. But aren't you actually blaming them? You know, these people were here and talking rubbish and not letting me study. So there is this mental rambling inside your mind. So this mental rambling is coming from what is called this initial application and sustained application. That is how you verbalize. First you got to have the initial application, sustained application in your mind. So initial application is, let us say, a person is coming far away. Then you understand this person is a person, recognized as a person. So that is initial application. Then that person is coming close by. That person's hair is short, so it's a man. Hair is longer, so person is a woman. So that is called sustained application. Or else, let us say, a bee is coming to a flower. So that is the initial application. It is guy rooting around the flower, is the sustained application. So using initial application, sustained application, we utter a speech. So if you are not blaming anyone, even from your mind, then you have this concentration due to mind. Your mind is so calm. You see, we sometimes, you know, maybe you are meditating, a fly is buzzing around and then you are saying this stupid fly and so on. So this initial application, sustained application, you are verbalizing it from your mind. So if you are not blaming anyone, then you get the concentration due to mind. So what is helping us? Right speech and right effort. So if you don't have the right speech, what you have is the wrong speech. So that is lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. If you have right speech, what can you actually say? You can say it is suffering, and then the cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering. That is the Four Noble Truths. That's all you can say. If you say this curry is yummy, tasty, then that is actually considered as wrong speech. So, in the Aryan sense. So, since we have the right speech, we are not blaming anyone or things. So you get the concentration due to mind. But for us, not to speak is very difficult, isn't it? Even if you come for the meditation session, two people meet, they want to talk and talk. So you need to have the effort. So that is right effort we are talking about. This right effort is fourfold. Let us look at it. And here it says, here a monk rouses his will, makes an effort, stirs up energy, exerts his mind and strives to prevent the arising of unarisen evil unwholesome mental states. What are the unarisen evil unwholesome mental states? There's the thinking imbued with sensual pleasures, that is sensual desire thinking, ill will thinking and harming thinking. So do you have sensual thinking, desire thinking at this particular moment? You don't. But when you go to the street, if you see beautiful women, beautiful men, children and so on, then you get the sensual desire thinking. So in other words, you are good at home. When you are going outside, you get this sensual desire thinking. So having known that one, you put effort to prevent the arising of those sensual desire thinking, ill thinking and harming thinking. So this is sort of a pre-thing before you put the condition. And then there's this second effort. He rouses his will, makes an effort, stirs up energy, exerts his mind and strives to overcome evil, unwholesome mental states that have arisen. What are the evil, unwholesome mental states that have arisen? They are the greed, hate and delusion. Do you have greed all the time? You don't have greed all the time. But you do have the delusion. Since you have the delusion, you get the greed and hate. Having known they are there with you, now you are trying to get rid of those things to overcome. So you are putting, he rouses his will, makes an effort, stirs up energy, exerts his mind and strives to overcome the greed, hate and delusion. And there is this third effort. He rouses his will, makes an effort, stirs up energy, exerts his mind and strives to produce unarisen wholesome mental states. What are the unarisen wholesome mental states? Here someone is thinking, let me have the faith of a stream enterer. You see the stream enterer, when he is in the stream enterer, it's the noble state, enlightenment state. There are four stages. The stream enterer, once written, never written and the arahant. That is the final one. So the stream enterers, when he is in the attainment level, he is not regarding anything in the world as mine. So his mind is vast. Therefore, he has got the faith about the Buddha. So one is thinking, let me have that faith. In other words, you want to become a stream enterer. If you are a stream enterer, you want to become a once return and so on. So then this is something you don't have, you are trying to achieve it. And then there is this fourth effort. He rouses his will, makes an effort, stirs up energy, exerts his mind and strives to maintain wholesome mental states that have arisen, not to let them fade away, to bring them to greater growth, to the full perfection of development. So what are the wholesome mental states that have arisen? And we mentioned in the third effort that you want to have the faith of a stream mentor. Let us say you are a stream mentor. Now you are in that level, attainment level, and then at that, because you are not taking anything in the world as mine, your mind is so vast. So because of the vast mind, one might be thinking, this is Nibbana. The attainment is not the Nibbana. The attainment is towards Nibbana. So now you, having understood this particular path, now you want to maintain the attainment so that you can go to the next attainment and so on. So that is to maintain your wholesome mental states. So these four efforts are very important. Without it, you can't even get up from your chair. You can't learn or anything. So now you can see the Eightfold Path, we got four of them, right speech to right effort, and there are two meditations. That is development of body, and because of that one, you cease your bodily formations, and then you go into the concentration due to desire. The development of virtue consisting of right speech and right effort, so your verbal formations will cease, and then you go into the second jhana concentration. And then you get the concentration due to mind. So now you can see your bodily action ceased, your verbal action ceased. So what you left with? The mental actions. Now you want to get rid of these mental actions as well. So that is coming up next. So there will be one above and the one below over here. That is called right thought and the right concentration. By doing that one, what you get is development of mind, bhavita chitta in path. By doing that, you get the concentration due to effort. Here, we are not going to stop all the mental actions. You are going to stop certain mental actions like this envy, stinginess, the derogations. You will be learning that one in the next meditation. So, what is helping us? Here, the right thought. Thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. And then, right is right concentration. He says here, the monk, aloof from the sensual pleasures, aloof from unskilled state of the mind, enter and abides in the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous, with initial application and sustained application. So in other words, what is this initial application, sustained application in this instance, is the right thought itself. The thought of renunciation, thought of non-violence, thought of non-harm. In other words, you concentrate your mind around it. And then Buddha is saying this has got four of them. The first, second, third and fourth jhana concentration. So now you can see in the Eightfold Path, we got six of them. And we got the development of body, development of virtue and development of mind, three meditations. So as we said, that bodily action ceased, verbal action ceased, certain mental actions are ceased. Then we work towards a cessation of all the mental actions. So there will be one above and then one over here after the right effort. And that is right view and the right mindfulness. So the development of wisdom consisting of right view as the right mindfulness. From this one we get the concentration due to investigation. And Vimansa Samadhi in Pali. So here we get rid of greed, hate and delusion. Then all the mental actions will cease. So right view, you understand the understanding about the Four Noble Truths itself. And the right mindfulness, in a nutshell, it says such is form, such is the arising phenomena of form, such is the passing away phenomena of form, the arising and passing, which we will be studying in a little while. So, in the four foundations of mindfulness, Buddha is saying that we have this, the mindfulness regarding the body, mindfulness regarding the feeling, mindfulness regarding the thought, and mindfulness regarding the doctrine. It is fourfold. So now you can see the Eightfold Path is now complete, and the right view to right concentration, and then we have four meditations. Your bodily action ceased, verbal action ceased, certain mental action ceased, and then completely your mental actions, the cessation of all the mental actions. Right thought proceeds from the right view because we understood it is suffering. Suffering is created by the craving, so you gave up, so you get the thought of renunciation. And so since I am following through the non-greed path, I gave up things that are in the greed path. That is, line is in the greed path, so I come to right speech. Since I am following through the non-greed path, I gave up the things that are in the greed path. So the stealing is in the greed path, so we gave up that one, so we come to the right action. So in other words, right thought proceeds from the right view, right speech proceeds from the right thought. Similarly, right concentration proceeds from the right mindfulness. From the right concentration, we get the right knowledge. From the right knowledge, you get the right liberation. So a person who has destroyed cankers, he got 10 of those things. And person who are following the Eightfold Path, you have 8 up to right concentration. So then you can see this right view is very important, isn't it? Without it, we don't get any of these things. So, Mahachattarika Sutta, in the middle and saying that is called Great 40 Discourse. That is the best discourse to understand the Eightfold Path. Buddha is telling you the wrong view first. So the wrong view is that someone is thinking there is no mother, there is no father, there is no result of sacrifice, there is no Brahmin or recluses. Having known about this world and the world beyond, proclaim, you know, and stay about those worlds. So this particular statement is completely a lazy person statement. You see, when the lazy person was not studying, that person's mother has shown him a sort of a lesson, you know, by showing someone, you know, sweeping the street. Look, son, if you don't learn, you will be like that one. You will be ending up like that. So then the son started learning, and then now he learn, and he is now earning money. Now he take a whiskey bottle at home and then have some bites and so on, enjoying his life. His mom is, you know, wearing white clothes, going to the temple to do the meditation, you know, practicing virtue and so on. To that mom, he is saying, "Mom, I did what you asked me to do. Now let us enjoy this, our life. There are no recluses or Brahmins in the other worlds, you know, who knows about the other worlds. So, you see, if you admit that there is another world, then you have to do something about it. So you need, likewise, you know, he had to study when mother is showing that path. Likewise, if there is another world, then you need to practice virtue and do the meditation and so on. The lazy person does not want to do that. So opposed to this one, there is this right view. That right view is twofold. There is a mundane one, there is a supramundane one. So the mundane right view is, here this person is admitting there is father, there is mother, there is this result of sacrifice, and there is this recluse and Brahmins who knows about this world and world view. So you see that even for that lazy person, there is a teacher. If there is a teacher, then there is a mother, father, you know, he is admitting. So for this particular right to you, is with cankers. But Buddha is saying you will be born because of that one. Because of this right to you, you are actually giving, you know, offering food to the Buddhist monks and doing charity and so on. So it has got a meritorious deeds are there, therefore there is karma, and then you will be born for that one. But Buddha is saying, don't be afraid doing good things, you know, otherwise you will not be born in good places. There is this right view which is supramundane. So that is the noble right view, and I will show you that that document. This is the noble right view without affluence. We are talking about this translation of this Pali term over here. Transcended, a factor of path, the wisdom, faculty of wisdom, power of wisdom, analysis of qualities as a factor of awakening. That is the wisdom, the noble right view is a wisdom of a person whose mind is without affluence, whose mind is noble, who is fully possessed of noble path, one developing the noble path. So whose mind is without affluence or taints. You see, you can stop your mind. When you go to a sort of a liberation state, you can stop your mind. You know, the bicycle wheel just about to stop is going to the right, coming to the left and staying in the middle. Likewise, you can stop your mind. Normally, when we see an apple tree, we have an essay to go with it. You know, we are saying an apple a day keeps the doctor away and so on. What is actually saying, what is inside that essay is that the how the apple tree is helping you to live your life. So when someone is going to this, you know, when you stop your mind, you see an apple tree, but there is no essay to go with it. Your mind is stopped and no essay, because you are not thinking about this, you know, supporting your life at that particular time. So whose mind is noble, that means you are a stream enterer, one street now, you are in a noble level, and at that particular time you are not taking anything in the world as mine. So that particular time, whatever the wisdom you have, or faculty of wisdom. And who is fully possessed of the noble path. So here, there are two things in the attainment. One is the path, one is the fruit. So here we are talking about the path. So whatever wisdom he has got in that particular time. And the fourth one, one developing the noble path. Now you are developing the noble path. So when you are developing the noble path, at one time you might get this one. You might get that is what Buddha said is right. Because of the craving, we have this suffering. Or because of the existence, there is this birth. And that time, whatever wisdom you have, is the faculty of wisdom, the power of wisdom, that is the right view. Because of that right to you, you will not be born. That no karma associated with that one. So that is the noble right view, and that is what you are trying to achieve within these 4 days. That is the right view we were talking about. And now we can see the right view is very important. So that is the understanding about the Four Noble Truths. So let us look at the Four Noble Truths in detail. So here we are looking at, and what monks is the noble truth of suffering. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, sadness and distress are suffering, union with what is displeasing is suffering, separation from what is pleasing is suffering, not getting what one wants is suffering. In short, the 5 aggregates of grasping are suffering. So to understand the Four Noble Truths, then that is the first noble truth, then you need to go through this minute paths over here. Birth is suffering. So let us look at that part. So here Buddha is saying, and what monks is the birth? Whatever group of beings, there is birth, coming to be, coming forth, the appearance of the aggregates, the acquisition of the sense basis, that month is called the birth. So whatever group of beings, there is birth. So where would we be born? We will be born in hell, animal realm, plane of departure, the divine world, and the Brahma world. Those are the 6 places. So let us look at the hell. So we need to understand the birth, we need to understand those places as well. So you see, when husband and wife sort of fight, one person I have heard was saying, this is the hell. Although that person was sort of describing pain that that person has having at that particular time. This is not the hell, but the hell-like feeling occur to that person. When some people are digging, you know, sort of a well or something, they are saying they heard some sort of a noise underneath. So they think that the hell is underneath. The hell is not underneath this earth, but this underneath part has got some sort of a meaning. Where are the hells? The hells are those planets, Jupiter, Mars, and so on. You see, for Mars, the NASA has sent a machine over there to look at. I can travel with the mind-made body. So I saw that machine on Mars. You know, it's just there is a, like a bicycle handle. There is nothing for you to see in that one. You know, dust is getting accumulated and so on. I went there with the Sahampati Mahabrahm, and then I asked him, isn't there a hell over here? He said, yes, there is a hell. That day he took me to that hell. That sort of a machine is not easy to find that one, because there are craters over there. You need to go underneath that earth crust. But they are actually getting close by. You know that a few years ago, they took a photo. If you type it in Google, unusual hole in Mars, then you can see some sort of opening is there. Like a well type thing, that you can't see the walls of that well. Those days they were thinking that this is where the creatures are. This is where the water is. They are right. That is the hell. On those planets you can't live on the earth, that planet's crust, because it's either very hot or very cold. So you have need to go underneath. There are buildings underneath those Mars and places. They discovered water in Mars, isn't it? They also discovered water in Pluto as well. Pluto has got 17 heads. And Jupiter is bigger Bhagavan, it has got about 70 hells. It has got 70 moons as well. So, those are the hells. And there is this particular discourse called Bala Pandita Sutta, Wise and Fool Discourse. There, Buddha is saying, the person who is done this, having done killing, stealing and so on, that person after death will be born in these bad places. And when they are born, and he was subject to various kind of suffering, they are putting very hot things on their body and then kill them, various kind of suffering. But Buddha said, I have gone in detail about this suffering, but that suffering part in hell is not finished. Because there are so many hells. There are 136 hells. For one earth, they have counted 136 hells. So then you explaining 136 is not easy, isn't it? And there is then another discourse called Marthajjana Sutta. That is this reboot to the Mara in middle and say, where the Venerable Moggallana, one of the chief disciples of the Buddha, was saying that he was a Mara, evil one, in one of his previous births. And then he took a form of a little child, and put a stone to one of the previous Buddhas, one of the chief disciples. So then that monk was bleeding and walking, and the Buddha, having understood that one, Buddha looked back and say to this evil one, you exceed your limit. Then evil one passed away from that child form, and then was born in hell. And Venerable Moggallana was saying, when he was born in hell, in the previous births, that he had a body of a human being and a head like a fish. And then those people, those beings in the hell, they put a iron rod inside the body, which lasted 1,000 years. And then the other one was falling, and then they put another rod. And various kind of suffering he had. I can also tell you that I was born in hell 40 births backward. What happened to me was that the birth before that one, I was killing this living, breathing things. Those days people are asking for fresh meat. And so in my garden there were these cows, goats bound by ropes. And they are coming and then say, chop off this particular part and give it to me. So while the animal was living, I was cutting that particular part, gave it to them. Having done this particular one, after death, I was born in hell. I lived there 2,100 years. When I was born there, they grabbed hold of me from my two arms. And then, the dentist chair. So there was a chair type, that one. So they let me lie down on that chair. And the machine that we have to prune these trees, we have two handles and some blades. This one has got few gadgets in it. There was a clip. So they put the clip to my hand and then they lock it from a screw. And there were some holes in the clip. They put the screws to my flesh. And then they squeeze the handle. And then he started rotating this one, and it was taking my flesh away. And it was so painful, so then I collapsed. So then when you are collapsed, they don't punish you. I recall this one by going to the 7th jhana concentration. The 7th jhana concentration is the best place for you to recollect your past births. I found that my hands are, they are holding. But my leg is loose, it's coming towards me with the pain, and then I collapse. So The next day, they grab hold of me again, and there is this very strong chemical in the hell. In Nepal, it's called lodhia. It's like sulfuric acid over here. You know, if you put sulfuric acid, it's looking for water. So they attach that acid to the clip, and then they put into the place that it is already wounded. So it's so painful, you know, if you have a wound, and then when the doctors are putting the surgical spirits, you can't even tolerate that one. So not to speak about the putting acid, so I collapse again. Next day also, they grab hold of me again, and then, so now this one cut up to the bone level. There were two clips. One, they attach to the side of this wounded place, and then they squeeze the handle. Then the two clips start separating each other. So they remove my flesh like they are removing a gloves, you know, when you are removing a gloves. So this was removed. So I didn't have flesh over here. And then next day, I'm not the only one subject to this suffering. So my left hand and the other person's right hand, they're bound by a rope. Let us say some sort of a cart track over here. So they send the cart over here. So this one was broken. So then I didn't have the hand anymore. So then I attach a sort of an iron piece for that one. Now my punishments are over. Now they gave me a job. You see, the hell has good jobs as well. If you are afraid of doing your job over here, then don't think about going to hell and doing the job. Because that one is worse than what you are thinking you are doing over here. I can tell you the job that I was doing. Although it is underneath the earth crust, there are these buildings over there. So I was working in a three-story building. I'm on the ground floor. And what is nearby me is that the sort of a pond of acid. There was a chain, a bulldozer type chain. What is that chain is doing? On the top floor, there is someone mounted on this iron, you know, hot plate. So now the chain is actually separating them apart. Now he can see he's going to fall underneath that, you know, this going to the fire. He will get burned. And then after that burning, then the next chamber opens. Now that person is now, burning person is now falling through a chamber where the air is flowing through. It's like a Bunsen burner. So it is now getting burned more and more. So then the next one, the ceiling, is opening in where I am. So now I can see the bones are coming down. Flesh is gone. So the various types of burns in bones are coming. And because of the wind, this one is actually getting to the edge of the pond. So I got a rake. So my job is to take that bones and put inside that the acid pond, and then it will vanish in few days time. When I look at the right side, I can see an array of ponds. In other words, those killing machines are the one working over there. So you can see the birth in hell is suffering. So then let us look at birth in the animal realm. So you can see the animals over here. They have this hunger, thirst. They are subject to this cold and heat. Is it the suffering over there? That suffering is for us as well. But there is more suffering over there. But Buddha is saying there is often killing. You know, the mouse is there, and then cat is coming and killing it and playing with the body as well. And cat is also frightened. You know, the cat in your house, when a stranger is coming, he is going underneath the cow hiding. And the dog is frightened as well, you know, sleeping and then open the eyes and bark and so on. And a deer is there, a lion is coming and killing. For you to understand their suffering, you need to use their shoes. Otherwise, you think, oh, I am a human being. I won't be become an animal. Well, we all of us have been born as animal many, many eons. You know, it's a very long time. The human birth is rare. So how do you use their shoes? To use their shoes that, let us say over here, you went somewhere and midnight, 12 o'clock, you missed the bus. So there is no bus, now you are walking home. Maybe a forest area or cemetery nearby or something. And then someone coming behind you as well, you know, making a noise, stoppers. What do you think? You think, well, this person might kill me. This person might take my purse, might rape me. So that's sort of a fear that animal is having all the time. So the birth in hell and animal realm both are suffering. So let us look at the birth in plane of departed spirits. I saw one person over there, is that a woman, that she is sort of taller, like a two-story building, and her face is like a human body, mouth is small. Her stomach was about 1.5 meters wide, you know, very big body, is difficult to walk as well. What are the food they are getting? They get the food when you pass merits to those departed one. You might be thinking, how can I eat merits? I'll give you an example. Sometimes you have food in your house and on the table, you have a stomach, you have a mouth, but still you can't eat because you have some sort of a stressful condition. And then let us say your mother, father, friend, you know, make up your mind, you know, it's okay, don't worry about it. Then you can eat. Likewise, those people in plane of departed, when you pass merits, their mind gets settled so that they can consume moisture or whatever thing around them. So you can see they are wearing their best clothes and, you know, running around when you pass your merits. They are the only ones that who can get merits. When you pass merits, they can consume it in a way. They live 700 years, 800 years, and they are hungry. Unless you give them merits, they don't have anything to eat. So you can see the plane of departed is suffering as well. Then the birth in hell, animal realm, and the plane of departed, all three are suffering. So let us look at the human world next. The human beings are thinking they are having a good time, isn't it? Let us say, is it so? To become a human being, where do you have to go? You have to go to a mother's womb. Is mother's womb a good place? I would say it's a canal of urine and excrement. You know, you are next to the urine and excrement. You are recalling your mind-made body scenario. At that particular time, then you can smell the urine and excrement as well. If there is a toilet, if they haven't flushed it, you can get the smell over here. Likewise, the places where touching excrement, they got that smell. The places where touching urine has got that smell. Some people think that this is a good place, you know, especially people who are actually learning medicine. They think it's a pure, clean place. That's what they think. What they meant is that there's no bacteria. Well, that may be the case, but you also got a brain, isn't it? That you normally say that your skin is good one, and for your son and so and saying, don't touch those dirt, you know, they are bad, and your skin is good. Now, let us say you take a blade and cut a small part of your skin and put it over there, then ask someone to pick it up. That person won't be picking up your skin part. Soil, that person would be touching without any problem. So if you have that sort of a brain, then you understand the underneath this skin, you cannot have a good place. So you are in a canal of urine and excrement with a liquid, and there is no even a light. There is no window in that one for 10 months, isn't it? So you are in that thing. And then when you are coming out, are you smiling and laughing? No, you are crying. If you don't cry, then there is a problem as well. If this is a happy place, why do you, you know, coming in that way, why do you cry? So you can see the suffering over there. And then when one mother was telling me, when the baby was born, then she had a sort of a wisdom. She was thinking, what a disgusting thing that I have produced. This is a loving mother. But, you know, at that time, she had this thing, idea, because of the liquid and so on. When the nurse was giving the baby to her hand, she was telling, please wash the baby and give it to me. When the baby was washed, you might thinking, oh, this disgusting thing is now gone. But where is the urine and excrement? It is inside your body. We are like a walking toilet, you know. We are going to some place, a meeting, with the urine and excrement hanging in our body. So then, if some people are dying at the time of birth, some people got sickness, like jaundice. So let us say you manage to live, and then you are hungry. If your mother is feeding you, then it's okay. Otherwise, you are crying. You pass excrement and urine, then you are crying. If your mother is cleaning you up, then it's okay. And then when you are 4 years old or so, then mother is giving you a bag, you know, you go and study. Are you saying, bye, mom, and go? You are crying. You are saying, mom, you come and stay in my class. Why? Because the stream of consciousness is aware. What happened to you in your past births? Remember your childhood? I can remember mine. I remember when my father was sort of a bit late to pick me up. There was a fat boy, chubby boy, coming after me. So I was running around the building to escape from him. Bullying and harassment is everywhere. In Australia, there's a European girl jump out of a building because of the bullying and harassment. You know, it is everywhere in the schools and every environment now. So let us say you manage to live. I saw there's a 18-year-old boy. The others went to sleep. This person took a basin and put the water to the basin, put the legs inside the basin, and he kept on studying. Now, if you study and pass the exam, it's okay. Otherwise, it is suffering. So let us say you pass the exam. And if you find a job, it's okay. Otherwise, it's suffering. So let us say you found a job, but you don't get to go to the job, you know, going from your home. Then you go to a boarding house, or you're renting an apartment or something, a faraway place. And then, you know, when you are going to work, you thought that, okay, that's, it is really good now. You know, when the mom was actually showing you that, you know, that if you don't learn, if you become like that, person who is sweeping the street, and she said, if you learn, then you can be a person like, you know, remember that uncle who is driving a Benz car? You can be like that one. So he thought, okay, now I'm going to get my salary, I can be like him. So when you went to work, people in the office saying, do this, do that, if you don't do it well, we are going to throw you out of the job. And okay, but I'm going to get my salary now. So you are actually keeping your mind in the job. And then you got your first salary. Remember your first salary. So you are so happy. What happened? It didn't last that long, isn't it? Because you have to pay your rent and pay the fees and buy a shirt for you and so on, or a dress. And at the end of the month, you can say there's nothing left. So then you thought, okay, let me you know, earn more money by learning or something. So now you get quite a lot of money. Now you got another problem, because robbers are coming to steal money from you. So then you put this security around you, and then you are again, you are afraid that taxman is coming there, to collect your money as well. So you are going after tax consultant as well. So now you have a little bit of money that you think, my problem is I don't have a house, I need to construct a house. So you take a loan and construct a house. And sometimes you know that the insects are damaging your house, and your neighbor is coming to fight with you for the boundaries and so on as well. And then you thought, okay, my problem is I don't have a husband, I don't have a wife. So then you find one. And those who have found already know whether it is okay to have it or not, isn't it? Because that some people are thinking that we are going to be together for a long time, but then now the some people's husband or wife, spouse has passed away already. They are no longer with them. Okay, again you are thinking that it is our problem is that we don't have a baby. You know, some people are coming over here, they have come over here to attain Nibbana, and then they say, our problem is we don't have a baby. So then you take an injection or something, then you have a baby. Now is it okay now? You know, then you get this noise, charas, baras, in night time. You know, you need to feed them every 2 hours feeding. And washing nappies, you know, touching excrement and so on, cleaning up. Is it a fun? It is not a fun. So you thought now if the baby is standing from their her or his feet, then I'm okay. Is it so? I can tell you a sort of a story from Sri Lanka. Or let us say someone over here going far away, you know, 2 hours drive and then coming back home. Maybe night time, that person coming home and, you know, cooking. And after eating, this lady is actually thinking the happiness in life is that, you know, I close my eyes and sleep. And but time is 10 o'clock, night time. And she is looking at, where is my son? He hasn't come home. Now this son is 18 years old. Where is he? He is in the uni, studying for the degree. So these days mobile phones are there, then you call. Then the son is saying, Mom, I can't come. There is an assignment which is due tomorrow morning. I have to finish this one. Maybe 12 o'clock midnight I am coming. So Mom is now sleeping on a chair. Because Mom, these days children are driving. Mom is afraid that, you know, if there is an accident, even the bus is broken down, then who is there to call? I should be awake. So 12 o'clock comes, then she is calling again and saying, Mom, I couldn't finish this one. Maybe in the morning that I can come. So Mom is so frightened now, you know, because not sleeping and then driving and so on. So because of the 18-year-old baby, now you can't sleep. Now the baby is 40 years old. Still, for the mother is the baby. Now that person got babies as well. Now what do you do? You know, you are backbended, you are looking after the baby's baby, and then you die. And that is this your life, isn't it? Just take one day of your human life. In the morning you take a bag and you are going to work. Is going to work a good place? Some people are saying that's the best place because their house is like a hell. But nobody is actually giving you a job. If there aren't problems in the world, you are a problem solver. Just take a doctor, lady doctor, going to work and putting the bag, and then, you know, a nurse is running and saying, please come, there's someone bleeding. You know, I can't stop that bleeding. So that person is attending to that one. Someone's heart stopped, so they are going and pumping. So morning to the afternoon, you are working with the urine excrement. This body is of the full of impurities, urine excrement and so on. Even your office, how many people are there to throw you out? They are looking at your performance and so on. Even the government is saying, we are going to cut down these jobs, and then, you know, something is going inside your body. How am I going to pay my bills and feed my kids? So now what you do, you know, then you get into the train or bus again, and then you are coming back or driving in the rush hours, and so you got quite a lot of stress over there coming back home. And then if it is a lady, then that person is actually looking at the kitchen, and then you are not happy to do that one because you have done once in the morning, then again I have to do it. But we have actually established these places in such a way, you know, these days we have this cooker, you know, the hot plates and the gas cookers, and then there are these ones, the top, this the glass, the underneath is the heat. So, you know, I have one of these, and my neighbor doesn't have that one. My neighbor is actually eating from a square type table, I am eating from a round table. He is eating in such a plate, I am eating from this type of plate. So we have, you know, established many things around it. But how do we get happiness? The food that you are eating from the plate, isn't it? The food. The what we are establishing around it is not giving us the happiness. So now you eat and now you want to sleep. But, you know, 18-year-old baby is not there, you can't even sleep. Let us say that person is there. And then the sleeping place also we have established in such a way that we have king bed, queen bed and so on. But are you actually sleeping the whole bed? No, it's just a 5 or 6 inches wide and 5 or 6 feet lengthy space. And just imagine over here, you are actually staying in a 2 or 3 feet area. You are in a big hole is in your mind. So you are trying to sleep to one side. Can you actually sleep to one side? Even in that chair, you can see you change your posture. You need to, you know, your back is painful and so on. So, so you are changing your posture. Petakopadesa says, if you do not understand why you change your posture, then you don't understand the suffering. You know, when you sit down, it's painful, so we stand up. And when you walk, it's painful, then we sit down. So we change our posture because of suffering. So if you have seen a nightmare, it is more suffering. And then in the morning, some discharges are there from your body, so you need to clean it up. Some people are going to toilet. I have seen someone is taking a magazine before going to the toilet because that job is also difficult, isn't it? Constipation is there. Sometimes we feel like laughing. But if a dog gets this particular problem, that is the end of that dog's life. When people are old, they can't pass excrement, or they pass excrement on the bed itself. So then you take your bag and go to work. That is your one day of your life. So where is the happiness over here? You know, that is the moment you are eating your food. That is 10 minutes or so. That is your happiness. For that one, how many hours you had to work? You got up early in the morning, went to work, 2 hours in the train, and then, you know, 8 hours working. So you have spent about 10 hours or so just for the 10 minutes of happiness. So it's not proportional. So human world is also suffering. Then so the birth in hell, animal realm, plane of departed, human world, old suffering. Then let us look at the divine worlds. So where the divine worlds are? So, you know, we have this North Pole, the magnetic North Pole, and we have the South Pole. So you extend that particular axis from the south to north towards the sky, and then you go far away to the right side. There is this first divine world, four guardian gods world, and to the left side, there is this 33 gods world. So it's in a spiral shape. So if you go further up, then you can even see Akanita Brahma realm. For you to see this one, you need to pursue light. So those are the the divine verse, what is the similarity and what is the difference between the divine verse and our world over here? Let us look at the similarity first. Over here we have houses. Divine worlds also got houses. They are bigger than ours and bigger and beautiful. We have roads. They do have roads. They are clean and beautiful and as well as big as well. And then we have cars, vehicles. They do have vehicles, three types of vehicles. You know, we have cars that we can travel few people. And then we have buses. So they do have that sort of vehicles as well. They can actually fly. So they do have spaceships as well. So the Western world people are sort of getting frightened that, you know, the aliens are coming sort of scenario. There are other earths. I have been to them as well with my main body. But those planets, they are actually still living in the dinosaur era. There are very big birds that they are actually eating human beings. And the developed ones are here. Maybe one day these people develop these rockets and so on, then spaceships and go into other worlds. Today what they see as a spaceships, they actually belong to those divine worlds. They are very well advanced compared to us in the technology. They have spaceships and so on. They don't want this one. This is a crappy place for them because their ones are rich and so on. So they are going in a... From there in the north, they are going to the south. While they are going to the south, they actually see our world. That's what it is. And then they do have these theme parks, Disneyland type things that we have. They do have this them as well. And then we do have this. We have jobs. They do have jobs. We have trees. They do have trees. And we have envy. They do have envy as well. Now you get the picture, isn't it? So what is the difference? Difference is over here, you live only 80 years or so. But over there, they live 10 million years. The first divine realm, the lifespan is 10 million years. The next one is 36 million years. The sixth divine realm, they live 8 billion years. So they live longer. You are keep on dying and they are living for a long time. Now today, how do you get the happiness? Let's say you buy a land and you keep it for a long time and then the price has gone up because of the gain, then yeah, there is this happiness for you. So they are also, because they are living for a long time, 8 billion, you know. So it's you can see they get happiness from that. So you can see the divine worlds is suffering as well. So the birth in hell, animal realm, the plane of departed, and the human world, the divine world, is suffering. So then, let us look at the Brahma world. So let us take an example of the second jhana, Brahma realm, where those living beings live from the delight. They live from the delight. That is their food, in a sense. So what happens if you don't have the rapture? Then it's like that you did not eat. So in other words, when the feeling change, there is suffering. So you can see then the Brahma world is also suffering. Then the birth in hell, animal realm, plane of departed, human world, the divine world and Brahma world. Everywhere it is suffering. If this is the case, can you think of a place for you to be born without suffering? By closing your eyes or opening your eyes, you can see there is such a place. So that is what is Buddha meant. By whatever group of being there is birth, that it is suffering. And then the appearance of the aggregates, that is this form, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, which we are going to discuss in a little while as well. Acquisition of sense bases. So that is having this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. I didn't understand this one at once. I was thinking, how is it is suffering to have the eye? One day I heard a Buddhist monk lost his eyesight. It is not because he is old, a young one. Because of a sickness, he lost his eyesight. So next day when I was going to meditate, I was thinking about it. You know, I close my eyes and meditate. Because of sickness, when I open, I may not see anything. Then I was thinking, how can I get out of this room? How can I go to a toilet? How can I drive a car? How can I go to work? The fear came to me. We get eye, nose, tongue, body and the mind, but they are impermanent, impermanent eyes, impermanent ears that we are getting. I had a good example for this one. You know, my father, when he was 82 years old, he could not see. He could see some sort of a shadow. You know, he was wearing specs. As far as I'm concerned, when I was small also, he was wearing. So after a long time, you lose ability to see through the specs as well. So then he could not hear. I have to shout at him for him to understand anything. Yell at him. And then he couldn't spell. Those days, urine and excrement, they are passing while sleeping. Unless we see that one and then clean it up, he does not get the smell. And then he could not feel the taste as well. And he was not drinking water because he is saying it's not, you know, tasty. And he could not feel his body that much either, you know, that he does not know when it was happening. Then after that one, he's saying something has happened over here. Maybe mosquito bites or something. He could not remember. He could remember an incident when he was young. If I asked him today, did you eat? Then he was asking my mom, did I eat? So his eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, all of them are gone. Then I was thinking, if it is true for him, then it is true for me as well. I'll be reaching that stage sooner before than him. Because we are eating, you know, crappy foods these days, chemicals and so on. So the acquisition of sense basis, it is also suffering. We get impermanent eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body. So we learn birth and then we are talking about the aging. And that is whatever group of means. There is aging, decrepit, broken teeth, grey hair, wrinkled skin, shrinking with age, decay of sense faculties. That monk is called aging. You can see a grandmother is not spending that much time in front of a mirror because she remembers how she was beautiful when she was young as a baby and so on. And not only the grandmother is aware of this one, that I saw a four-year-old boy playing outside in the garden and then stopped playing and went inside the house and showing his mom his hand. You know, the beautiful hand has got some sort of a patch over there. His skin is sort of changed. So that is this aging. So the four-year-old one knows and the grandmother knows you are in between, you also aware of this aging. And then there is this sickness. You know that there is this various kind of sicknesses Buddha was explaining in Grimananda Sutta, that there's this body problems, eye problems, ear problems, nose problems, tongue problems and so on. And then, you know, the cancer, heart, liver problems. Because of the seasonal effects, you know, the heat, cold. And then because of the cum also, there are these problems. And then you have this passing of urine and excrement. 48 kind of sicknesses. Buddha said that there are more sicknesses than this one in the future. And then they don't have names. Actually, we have reached that stage already. Some people are coming to me and saying, I have this sickness, I went to every possible doctor and then they did the scanning and so on, but they can't find. Unless if you can find it, you know, you can put a name. The sickness is there, there's no name. And in the future it will be more. So if you go to a hospital or so, if you see a sick person, cancer, something. Then when you come back home, don't switch on the TV. You think that I will get that particular problem today, or maybe tomorrow, or day after tomorrow, or maybe next birth. So that is sickness. And then Buddha is talking about the aging, death. And what is death? Whatever group of beings, there is passing away, removal, cutting off, disappearance, a death, dying and ending, cutting off the aggregates, discarding of the body, that monk is called death. So this is the place where we are actually going to start our meditation as well. Now when what Buddha is saying, that having seen a dead body which is past 2 or 3 days old, then you actually fester in nature. You think my body is of the same nature, it will become like that one. And then Buddha said that you contemplate the arising phenomena and passing away phenomena of the body, which we are going to do in a little while. So then you are thinking, you know, you have your grandfather, grandmother, whoever passed away. You have visited that place. Now today you visit, I can actually show you one of the dead bodies. And this is a dead body, you know, 2 or 3 days past, and you know, pasture in nature. Having seen that body, you think my body is of the same nature. I have not escaped from this one. So so then you have seen your grandfather, grandmother who passed away, and today you visit from your mind and the funeral house that the body is there. And as Buddha said, you think that, you know, my body is of the same nature, I will be subject to the same thing. So you lie down next to that body, thinking you are dead. And don't worry, don't cremate it, just let it be there for 7 days or so. What will happen? You see, your body has got this 9 holes in it. That is this 2 holes here, then 2 holes of the nose, and 1 for the mouth, so that's 5 holes, and 2 holes for the ear, 7, and where you are passing urine and excreta. So there are these 9 holes. What will happen from those 9 holes? Then you can see that this, you know, the places where the urine and excreta, and they are coming out. And in my meditation, I saw this particular part, mouth part, is gone. And a worm is coming out of the nose, going inside the mouth. And a worm is coming out of the mouth and going inside the nose. Then my mind body became expanded, and I was in the mind-made body. You have 3 bodies, and the cross body that you do have, that is the one. And then you have a body made, that is the mind made body. And there is this perception born body. There are 3 bodies. Buddha is saying in Pottapada Sutta, if someone asks, where is it? It's over here. There are 3 bodies. But when you have 1 body, we don't talk about the other body. It's like when you, from a milk, you make curd. And for the curd, you are not saying milk. From the curd, you make ghee or butter. For the butter, you are not saying it's curd. So it's a transform, isn't it? So you have 3 bodies over here. So when you die, you are in mind-made body. So what happened was that when I look at this dead body, then I went into the mind-made body, because this disgusting thing, my mind became expanded. What a disgusting thing, and I was in the mind-made body. Mind-made body is not a sort of a birth. It is there, you know, while you are here also, it's there. It doesn't have a digestive system. It's like a water tank. You know, water is coming to the tank and then no more water coming in. The existing water is going out. That is how the mind-made body, you need to understand. It is perfect with the eye, ear, nose, tongue, that sort of thing. But it doesn't have a digestive system. So, I was in the mind-made body. What happened to you after death? Are you going to be born at once? Or are you going to be in a mind-made body? The answer is, the both instances are there. For some people, it's just at once. You are going to hell. Or, you know, the animal realm, birth. So you die over here, there is no gap. You die, then you be born. There are certain human beings also. They have the chance to be born at once. For example, let us say your house is broken today because of an earthquake or something. What is the chance you are going to have another house appealing to you in a place, in a good place for you? It's a probability is zero, isn't it? But let us say there is a king. His one palace is broken, then there is another palace. So he can go. It does not mean that king will be born, but I am trying to say there are people with skill states, so they can be born, you know, at once. One death can be born. What happened to the others? They are in mind-made body. So they live with mind-made body for 7 days, sometimes 7 years, 28 years. They are living, but they are hungry because they haven't got anything to eat. I can tell you my birth before the last one. I was in Sri Lanka, a particular place called Anuradhapura. I could see my body lying down. I can see the backside. How can I see my backside? Because I'm in the mind body from over the sky and I'm looking at my body. My problem is, why this body is not getting up? And then, you know that some people came over there and lift up the body and they started crying. Then only I knew that I am dead. You know, I'm confused. By the time of death, you don't even know, you know, that you are dead. Because you see, when you are coming over here, what did you tell your relatives or whoever at home? You said that I will go to meditation session and come back. That is the belief you have. But are you sure? You might die over here because of a heart attack. Or you might die on the street because of an accident. But we think that we are going home. So likewise, when I put the right leg, what is it? I can put the left leg. That's what I am thinking. So put the right leg before I put in the left leg. I am dead. So I was in the mind-made body. And then I can see other, they take my body home. And there was a 15-year-old boy who was very sad because the father is dead. And people are, you know, coming to the house and then they are crying. And so they are sad. So at the end of the day, I see they are not the one who are sad. I am the one who is sad because they are eating, I can't eat. The mind-made body can't eat. So that is this the death I'm talking about. Out of this thing that we need to discuss, that we were looking at, there are these 12 terms: birth, aging, sickness and death. So we discussed 4 of them and we discussed birth in greater detail. We learn birth, aging, sickness and death. And I said that after death, some people are in mind-made body. So, if you are in a mind-made body, and if you have not eaten for many days, then you have the pain. You see, how many meals you are eating for a day? So normally you would say 3 meals. But then you are taking biscuits, tea and so on. So about 6 meals. If you could not eat lunchtime for 2 hours, then it's sort of painful for you. I could not eat for 2 hours. Now just imagine that not eating for 2 days, 3 days and a year, for many years. The mind-made body person is in such a state that he can't eat. It's like a water tank. Water is always going. So that is what the pain is over here. You are in the mind-made. You had a baby-type body, birth, aging, sickness, death. And after death, you are in the mind-made body. You have not eaten. So that is the pain. So when there is this pain, pain has the characteristic of oppressing the body. That becomes the food-in for sadness. You know, if you could not eat for 2 hours in your lunchtime, and then I could not eat for 2 hours, and so you have sadness over there. So sadness has the characteristic of oppressing the mind. Now you can see that your body is oppressed and the mind is oppressed. So therefore you have the sorrow. So sorrow has the sorrow in nature. You are always sorrowing. You see, isn't that when you are eating something, isn't that the, you know, the bite, you know, the part of the consciousness that is dying? You don't have the consciousness after, you know, from here to here. You get this taste and so on. After that one, you don't feel it. So the consciousness dying over there. So isn't that the dying part of the consciousness is telling you, eat another bite? So in other words, you are sorrowing all the time. From the sorrow, you get the lamentation. Here, the words are coming out. You know, you can see people are saying, oh father, oh mother, and so on in a funeral house. So the words are coming out. Verbalizing is there. So even for the mind-made body, it is there. And you are thinking, how did I die? You know, was it a cancer? Was it a heart attack? Another sort of scenario. So then you can see in a funeral house, people are saying, oh father, oh mother, and then they collapse. So there is this distress over here. Upayasa is the Pali word. So there is a great distress over here. And distress actually lead to the birth as well. Just imagine you are in a mind-made body. You are looking for a place to be born. And then you rejected first mother, the second one, the third one, the choices. And the other people are taking those places. And then like you are hunting for a house, you know, the house, you know, that you are looking for a house to buy, and the other one is gone, this one is gone, and so on. Now what do? You don't keep on searching forever. You just creep into a mother's womb. Because of the distress, there will be this existence of the craving, and there will be birth. And then you get separation from what is pleasing. So what is the most dear thing to you? It is this body, isn't it? Look, you have a baby type body birth. What happened to it? It was subject to aging, the sickness and death. And then you are in the mind-made body. You have not eaten. That is the pain over here. You are separated from the dearly loved body, therefore separation from what is pleasing. If someone asks a mother, what do you like? Then she would be saying, I like my son. The other person knows that she got 2 sons, and then asking, which one? Then mother becomes speechless. Although she is saying about the son, all of a sudden her heart is aching. Now what is she saying? Take me to the hospital. If one son is dying, the other one is there. But this son is dying, then you haven't got any. So this is the most dearly loved thing for you. And you are separated, so therefore separation from what is pleasing. And this includes the separation from husband, wife, children and so on. But the bigger one is this body, your own body. Now you have only one body. If you are separated from this one, what you left with? Union with what is displacing. It is like a small child, you know, jumping up and down and saying, I want this particular toy, I want this one. And mother is saying, I can't buy this one, I will buy you this one. And then he will throw away that one and keep on asking for this same toy. And this is the body that you want. On the other hand, think that you are in the mind-made body. Other people are eating, you know, smell is coming out and so on. And you can't eat. So are they pleasant to you? They are not pleasant. So union with displeasing is there. And then you get the not getting what one wants. What is that one? Now up to this one you have learned 11 parts of suffering. Birth, aging, sickness, death. Down up to union with what is displeasing. Now you are thinking, in that case I don't want to have the birth. Although you are thinking that having seen that birth is suffering, now you are thinking it would be good if I am not going to be born. But when there is craving, there is birth. When someone is subject to aging, that person would be thinking it would be good if I am not subject to aging. But when there is birth, there is aging. Someone subject to sickness, that person is thinking it would be good if I am not subject to sickness. But when there is birth, there is aging and sickness. Someone subject to death, that person is thinking it would be good if I am not subject to death. But when there is birth, there is aging, sickness and death. So similarly think about the other terms. That is not getting what one wants. In short, Buddha said, clinging to these five aggregates, that is suffering. So the five aggregates are also mentioned in this website. That is form, that is matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. This matter is made from four great elements. That is the element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion and the element of heat. Now you can see this remote control extent. I can hold it because it has got the hardness in it. Hardness, softness is there. So the element of extension is more prominent in hard things. And then there is this element of cohesion. Cohesion is the intermolecular attraction force in physics. So the liquid things, we can see element of cohesion is more prominent in liquid things. Now let us say that there is this remote control and the mouse on the table. Are they coming and together? Are they joining? They are not. But if there were two water bubbles over here, they will be joining because the cohesion is there. So then you can see the element of cohesion is more prominent in liquid things like water, urine and so on. And the water has got the element of extension as well. If you freeze it, ice, it's hard. If you boil it, then there is this motion, water vapor. So there is this element of motion. So, you know, in our body we have this air. Air is moving upward and so on. So the element of motion is more prominent in things like air. The air also got the liquid property, you know, if you freeze it. It will become liquid and it become hard as well. And then there is this element of heat, that your body is getting age, subject to aging because of the element of heat. Even the food you are eating getting digested because of the element of heat. So these are the four properties, four things: element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion and element of heat. So whatever the hard thing in the world, soft things, they are actually made from element of these four elements. And then the sounds, the light, they are called derived qualities of those elements. So that is matter. If you are clinging to that one, it is suffering. And then feeling. Feeling is three kinds. There is this pleasurable feeling, this pleasure feeling, neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling. Now, it can be physical as well. If you are sitting down on a comfortable chair, then you get the physical happiness. So mental and physical, it is six kinds then. And how do you get these feelings? Because of the contact. So we have eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So multiply by 6, then 6 into 6, 36. And then it is past, future and present. So multiply by 3, then 108 kind of feelings are there. In short, you can think, remember, pleasure, displeasure, neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling. And then we have perception. The perception you perceive red, green, yellow and so on. And whatever thing you feel also you perceive. Buddha said what one feel is what one perceive. What one perceive is what one apprehend. So perception is the one making you go in a wrong way. You see, when you have hair on your head, you comb it, treat it, you can consider it as a good thing. But if you see the same hair on a plate you are eating, you are saying disgusting. You know, if a waiter is actually giving you a plate with the hair on it, you will blame him, you know, this is disgusting. So you can't have two perceptions. If when it is in your head, you are saying it is good, then you should be saying it's good when it is on the plate as well. If you are saying it is disgusting when it is on the plate, then you should be saying it is disgusting when it is on your hair. So you need to pick up the correct perception. And then from the perception, we get the volitional formations. The volitional formations are three kinds. The bodily volitional formations, the verbal mental volitional formations, and the mental volitional formations. For the bodily volitional formations, that you take that inhaling and exhaling, they are considered as bodily volitional formations. And you utter a speech from the initial application and a sustained application, pitakka vichara in Pali. So they are considered as verbal formations. And then we have mental formations like perception, feeling, volition, the mental parts. They are the mental volition formations. So now you take a long breath and then you kill animals. So then they become meritorious, demeritorious. So the meritorious formations are that you do charity, offer food to Buddhist monks, and then do the first jhana to fourth jhana. They are meritorious. And killing is not meritorious, though, so they are demeritorious volitional formations. And then there is this imperturbable one. They are neither meritorious nor demeritorious. Like space is infinite, the higher jhana concentration, consciousness is infinite, and the plane of nothing, and neither perception nor non-perception levels. So why it is called volitional formations? And Buddha was telling this one in this something called Kajjani Sutta. Volitional formations construct condition form as form. They construct condition feeling as feeling. They construct condition perception as perception. They construct condition volitional formations and volitional formations. They construct condition consciousness as consciousness. They construct. In Pali it is called Sankatam Abhisankaranti. It is very difficult to translate though. For example, you can see there is a table over here. But how do you know it's a table? Because your father, mother, teacher, when you were small, pointing out when something has got four legs and some wood piece on the top, flat thing, it's a table. Your father, mother is not here. And when you see this one, you say this one is a table. If they have trained you to say, address this one as a chair, you would be calling it a chair. So whatever you construct, you reconstruct it. So it construct. the consciousness as well. So this consciousness is then six kind. I and the form, I consciousness. Ear and the sound, ear consciousness. So we have eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So the mind consciousness. It is like that you make fire from the wood pieces, you say wood fire. If it's from the gas, you say gas fire. Likewise, I and the form, I consciousness. Ear and the sound, ear consciousness. So you are labeling it that way. So Buddha is saying, if you are clinging to any of these things, then it is suffering. So now we have learned this, the suffering, birth, aging, sickness, death, pain, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, distress, separation from what is pleasing, union with what is displeasing, and not getting what one wants. And in short, clinging to five aggregates, suffering. So, for the meditation, what we were actually saying, whatever thing we just mentioned so far is actually meditation. But you can't do it that way, so let us look at it in a short way. So you start with the birth. Birth in whatever the world, you know, the hell, animal realm, plane of departed, human world, divine world, Brahma world, whatever the birth, there is suffering. So you haven't got any place to go. And then you got this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. And they are already subject to aging. So it is suffering over there. So you look at the birth. Acquisition of sense bases, it's suffering. And then you come to aging. Are you subject to this one? Are you already aged? We are. You know, you need to pass that particular point. It's a sort of milestone. We always think, I am not already, you know, subject to aging. One person who is 60 years old showing his hand and telling me his hand is really good. You know, his skin. Even a person in a wheelchair is thinking, oh, I'm still okay because I am not on the bed yet. So that is how our consciousness is. It is letting you slip through the pain and things. Don't let it be. You need to convince it. You know, you are, for example, one good example how to know that you are already subject to aging. That when you are young, when you are small, your mother and, you know, everybody is cuddling you, isn't it? Lifting up. They don't do it anymore because they know that you are already subject to aging. So, we talk about the grandfather, grandmother as well as, you know, the young boy. So, just past that particular point, I am already subject to aging. And then you get a long breath without you noticing. Then what happened to my grandma, my grandfather? Sickness. Whatever the sickness they had, cancer, heart problems and so on, I will get it. So you need to pass that particular point as well, you know. Our mind is saying, no, you don't have the sickness. They got cancer, you don't have cancer. You have tested your thing, but you never know when it is coming up. If it is not cancer, then it's something else. So then after that one, then you come to death. So having seen a dead body, 2 or 3 days passed, pasture in nature, you think your body is of the same nature. So you go to your funeral house, you know, your father, grandfather, whoever, and visit it mentally. And that person is there. What Buddha said is, I am also same nature. So you lie down next to that one. Don't bury it, don't cremate it. You don't need to think my eye is like that or my nose is like that. Just imagine you are dead. There, don't bury it. So it's there 7 days. And then you can see this disgusting thing coming up. Just imagine a naked body in front of you in the carpet. The excrement and urine and all those things, they are coming up. You might see a dead body. If you are lucky, you will see that is not this dead body, one of your past births. This is a very powerful meditation. So then we need to contemplate arising and passing away phenomena. You think my body is of the same nature, so you lie down and then you see this disgusting thing coming up, then your mind become expanded. You are in the mind-made body. Probably you need to move to another chair. Then Buddha asks us to contemplate the arising and passing away phenomena. For that one, we are going to use this meditation and concentration which you have in your fold. This is the major meditation part. Thus have I heard at Savatthi, there the Blessed One said this. Bhikkhus develop concentration. A bhikkhu who is concentrated understand things as they really are. And what does he understand as it really is? The origin and passing away of form. The origin and passing away of feeling. The origin and passing away of perception. The origin and passing away of volitional formations. The origin and passing away of consciousness. That is arising and passing away. We know that one, isn't it? But never assume that you know. What happens if you think that I know and then you go to a lecture? You don't listen to that person at all. Now we need to be like a carpet level. You know, we need to think that I do not know. Even if you are an arahant, it is not befitting for you to think that I know. Because Buddha knows more than that arahant. So, here, having think that you know, become a sort of a humble person, I do not know. Then you will understand what Buddha meant. And Buddha is explaining, what bhikkhu is the origin of form? What is the origin of feeling? Origin of perception, volitional formation and consciousness. This is the arising phenomena. Here bhikkhu one seek delight. One remains holding. And what is that one seeks delight in? What does one welcome? To what does one remain holding? One seeks delight in form, welcomes it and remains holding to it. As a consequence of this, delight arises. Delight in form is clinging. With one's clinging as condition, the existence. With existence as condition, birth. Birth as condition, aging and death. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, displeasure and despair come to be. Such is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. So do we understand this one at once? We don't. I mean, you understand the words going on over here. You see, the seeing things is different to understanding. You see, we need to see with the different eye from this eye that we have. So, what is the attainment? Attainment is that you are understanding a link in a dependent origination. This is a dependent origination. You can see there are about 80 dependent originations. This is the one. You can see that the clinging as a condition existence. Existence as condition, the birth. So birth as condition, the aging and death. If there is no birth, there is no aging. So this understanding this one of the link is the path of attainment. And if you understand the because of the existence, birth come to be, and then birth is suffering, then that is the fruit of attainment. So we need to go through this one thoroughly to understand this one. So for that one, we use a couple of examples. That's what we need to do. TV is a good example, isn't it? You seek delight in TV. So you go in front of a TV, take the remote control, press the button, oh, that's no good. So you press another one. So you get a nice picture. So that is, you are seeking delight. Seek delight in form. TV is the form, picture is the form. And then you welcome it. How do you welcome it? You are calling your mom or your son. Son, come. Here's a nice picture going on. So you are welcoming it. And remain holding to it. That is, the next week, the same time you are going in front of that plastic box and sitting down over there. So you seek delight, you welcome, you remain holy to it. As a consequence of this, delight comes to arise. What is this delight? It's a sort of a funny thing over here. You see, when you eat a bite, from here to here you get the pleasure. And after the throat you don't have it. So what is happening over here? So when you put the bite, when you are biting, you get the feeling. And the consciousness is aware of the feeling. And after the throat, the consciousness died. And then what do? You let it die? No, you take another, mix another bite and put it inside. So the feeling comes to arise, consciousness is aware, again it is dying. It's like a game. And you want to do it very quickly as well. One day I saw a fortunate incident where a mother is feeding a baby. That baby want to eat very quickly. So then one bite coming and open the mouth and then take another one. And then someone asked her that, the mother asked her something, and then she was saying, in that particular cupboard you find that. She could not mix up. The baby got upset because these things are consciousness died, and it is, you need to reconstruct it very quickly. Now you take this on long term. You had a baby type body birth. It was subject to aging, sickness and death. So death means death of consciousness. You know, the dead person, you can touch it. The form is there, but the consciousness is not there. So if the consciousness passed away, then what you want to do? You want to reconstruct the consciousness. So that delight means your desire to be born again after death. So the bite led to that one, that scenario. The delight in form is clinging. You're holding to that one. So you want to have the TV picture the next week, week after, and so on. With one's clinging as condition, the existence. Before the existence, now you think this is the existence of the same craving. So here, let us take example. Let us say that you have a box in your house. You have a habit that you eat, let us say jelly beans. You put $2 to the box. You see a beautiful woman, you put a $100,000. Beautiful man, either $100,000 or $80,000 to the box. And you see baby, you put $20,000 to the box. You see beautiful dress, maybe $200 to the box. And let us say you are in the mind-made body. And then you see that the $2 on the box. Then what do you want? You want to have a mouth to have that, you know, eat the jelly beans. You put $2 because you want to eat these jelly beans. Do you get a mouth? You would get a mouth. But that mouth may not be the one you are expecting for. This happened to a monk. A monk got a raw material. He was fond of this raw material and then, you know, touching that one. Unfortunately, at that time, that monk died. Then the monk was born as a moth, you know, living inside that cloth. So that is the characteristic of taint of existence, Bhavasra. It says in Pali, Prarthana, Grantha, Abhisankara, Akaya, Sankarati. Prarthana means aspiration. Aspiration for jelly beans. Grantha means you are tying to the feeling that arises when you are eating the jelly beans. Abhisankara kaya sankaranti means you are construct a mouth for that one. In the case of the monk, it was that moth. You know what monk was thinking? The rope material is just to wrap around the body. The moth can do a better job. If it is what is that person wants, in a better one is a moth, because moth can be inside the cloth, it can eat it, pass urine, pass excrement inside it as well. So that is the characteristic of taint of existence. You get a mouth, but it is not the mouth you are expecting. I mean, you don't have to be a human being to eat jelly beans. Ant can eat it. A fly can eat it. A dog can eat it. So existence as condition, you will get a birth. With the birth as condition, aging, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, displeasure, despair come to be. You see, what you are actually asking for is the form. You seek delight in form. What you got, it's a parcel. You know, aging, sickness, all those things are coming. It's like you are ordering a wristwatch from a internet. And now they actually just give you the wristwatch. Ah, here it is. Now they put it in a velvet type cloth and put a box and wrap the box. And around it they put these bubble wraps and so on. And then they give it to you. You didn't ask for those bubble wraps and tissue papers and so on. So you ask for the form, but you got whole parcel of suffering. Birth, with the birth, aging, sickness, all those things are there. So that is the arising phenomena of suffering. Some people are saying that this is not an example for me because that I am not watching TV. I'll give you an example for anyone. That is food. One grandma was actually telling me in the garden, "Son, I don't like anything anymore." I was asking her, "Grandma, what about the food?" And she was saying that, "I don't like the food either. And you need to carefully watch where she is heading. She is going to the curry leaf plant to have the curry leaves to make her curry tastier." So if you have that sort of grandma, then you know, you take her in your car to the fair, food fair or something, and then she is saying, "Son, buy from that one, buy from that one," and so on. Then you need to point out, "Ah, grandma, you like those things, aren't you?" She might be scolding you, but you are doing a good job helping her. You know, if you hide the craving, you can't get rid of it. When you put it out, when it is apparent, it is there, this craving for me, then you can get rid of it. So you can put the food over here. So how do we meditate? We meditate like a cooking with a recipe. And this is the recipe. So you put a food over here and then you question yourself, "Do I seek delight in this food? Yes, I do. Do I welcome?" Yeah, yesterday also I told that man, "You know, this food is yummy. That means I am welcoming." So you put another tick, "Yes, I do that. Do I remain holding? So the food that I eat today, I want to have tomorrow and day after tomorrow and so on." So put three ticks. You know, this is the recipe. Like I put a spoon, spoon of salt and so on. And then do that way. One, seek delight, welcome, remain holding. Ask the question yourself and then put a tick. And therefore, you have this delight in form. So the delight in form is clinging. In the food example, that means you won't be born again as well. And clinging as conditioned existence, the very same craving exists within you. So existence as condition, birth. So the birth as condition, aging, sickness, all those things are coming to arise. So that is the arising phenomena. And Buddha said same thing for the feeling as well. One seeks delight in feeling. Perception, volitional formation, consciousness welcomes it, remains hold into it. As a consequence of this, delight arises. Such is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. So do we seek delight in feeling? We do. Tomorrow morning, first meditation, you will be learning why we come to this earth. First is that you are going to mother's womb because you want a place to be born. And then you also want to have the pleasure from a woman. So the person who is coming, that person is getting that pleasure for a few years. You see that first today what we are eating, we are eating pumpkin type thing, right? Can you eat pumpkin? Let us say you are in a desert and then you have only pumpkin and yourself. You can't eat it. You need to have knife to cut it and then you need to boil it. So you need about 3 or 4 curries to make up your meal. And for the baby, it is just milk, soft milk. It is nourished with, you know, even the medicines are there. So the food wise is correct, good, happiness is there. And then again, mother's breast is inside the baby's mouth. So there's a soothing effect, like a, you know, soother to happiness. Thirdly, mother's body is touching the baby's body. You know, so that from the mother's warmth, all those things are there for the baby. You like to hold babies, isn't it? Cuddle babies. Why? You think you love babies. It is actually you love yourself. Because when you touch the baby, baby's the body is soft. When it is touching, you get the feeling. You like that feeling. That's why you do that. That's why you don't, you know, hold the old people. So the baby's skin is soft. And then, so the baby, because of the soft skin, the baby is absorbing the warmth and happiness from the mother. The fourth one is that the mother is looking at the baby's, you know, drinking this milk with a compassionate eye. Is there anyone today looking at you while you are eating in a compassionate eye? So four happiness is there. The fifth one, mother is having a lullaby, you know, there's song or something is there singing, good for your ear as well. So five kind of happiness. What happened when you are actually 3 years, 4 years old? Mother got another baby. So mom would boil some potatoes or rice or something, mix them up, let you sit down on a table and say, son, you eat, or daughter, you eat. So you know, rice and no bread crumbs over there, everything is around your face, you are not happy. You want to come to your mom, but you can't because the brother or sister is there. So then 12 years, 10 years old, the mother is not touching you that much. 20 years, not touching at all. So today, you know, you have some old, grown up, with a wrinkled body and so on. But still, the word that is coming up is that mom, oh mom, that is the word coming up. The word oh mom has got this, you know, the five kind of happiness you got from your mom. The protection, the warmth and everything that you got from the mom. You are looking for it, you don't get it. And then you are, maybe when you are young, someone is touching you for a millisecond or so. And then having grown old with the shrink, you know, wrinkled body, then you are actually asking for that happiness. You are not going to get that one. So because of this one, then you have fights at your home as well. So you can see we seek delight very well. We seek delight in feeling very heavily. So as a beginner, for the first time, I would suggest you do only two, either form or the feeling or both. Don't do perception, volitional formation and consciousness. We will do that on the third day because your mind got to develop to a certain stage to do the perception. So this bhikkhu is the origin of form, origin of feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. So that is the arising phenomena. You can see it is long-term thing, isn't it? It is not that like electron coming in, wrapping around the proton or something like that. It is that one seek delight, one welcome and remain holding. By doing that one, delight come to arise. The delight is clinging, clinging as condition, the existence, existing as condition, the birth, and then the suffering is there. That is how our suffering got created. And then the other way around is now explained. And what bhikkhu is the passing away of form? What is the passing away of feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness? Here bhikkhu, one does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain holding. And what is it that one does not seek delight in? What doesn't one welcome? To what doesn't one remain holding? One does not seek delight in form, does not welcome it, does not remain holding to it. As a consequence of this, delight in form ceases. With the cessation of delight comes cessation of clinging. With cessation of clinging, cessation of existence. Such is the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. So here, the other way around, does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain holding to it. So again, use that examples. The TV is a good example. One does not seek delight in TV. So that means you go home after work, you don't take the remote control, then you don't press the button. Does not seek delight. Does not welcome. You know, some people are saying to another person, I don't watch TV. But there's a soccer match or football match is going on. If you want, you can watch. Why? Because this person wants to know who won. So that is, again, welcoming. You are not going to do that one either. Does not remain holding. That means this week, the next week, you know, week after, next year or so, he's not going to watch the TV for the soccer match or whatever it is. So then you can see the delight in form ceases. No delight. You might be thinking that this is so boring, because from a TV, in a plastic box, you get delighted. But there are better things than that one. I can tell you that when I close my eyes, I feel my eyelid, the eyeball, and then the forehead, and then whole face become pleasurable. If you develop faculties, then you can do that one. You know, when I was working in Canberra, in Australia, if I have 2 minutes break, I close my eyes, then I become pleasurable. And then I can do my job well as well after that, refreshed. So, from the TV, are you actually getting the happiness? You go to work and come back home, and then, you know, press the button, then news is going on. It says Afghanistan, there were these 20 babies died because of a bomb. Are you happy to see that? You don't. Or maybe you are watching a nice drama, the one that you would like to watch. And then inside that drama, there is another drama, isn't it? That is your drama. You are saying that girl should have married to this boy. She married the wrong one. So it is not your drama that they are actually playing. Wouldn't it be better for you to have your own drama? You close your eyes and you have the happiness. So then you can see the delight ceases. With the cessation of delight, the cessation of clinging. So you are not going to watch that movie again and again or things like that. The cessation of clinging, the cessation of existence. The cessation of very same craving, that is the cessation of existence. And at that particular time, you think this way, that suppose when you are eating, you like to eat jelly beans, but you don't put $2 to that box. And then when you see a beautiful woman, you don't put $100,000 to the box. When you see a beautiful dress, you see the dress, but you don't put $200 to the box. Now you are in the mind-made body. You see the box. Box is empty. There is no purpose for you to be born. With the cessation of existence comes the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. So that's how you are going to understand it. So use the TV example as well as the, you know, the food example. And then, you know, if I don't do this one, then I don't get it. So this is the way to end suffering. And Buddha said the same thing for the feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Same thing. Such is the cessation of all mass of suffering. This bhikkhu is the passing away of form, passing away of feeling, perception, volitional formation, and consciousness. So try to remember this one. You know, it's easy. One, seek delight, welcome, remain holding. By doing that one, the delight comes to arise. The delight in form is clinging. Clinging as condition, the existence. That is the existence of the very same craving. As the existence as condition, the birth comes to be. So you look at the arising part and then the cessation part. So how do we do this one? We go to the funeral house. You see your grandma or someone is there and look at the dead body and then lie down next to it, thinking my body is of the same nature. I have not escaped from this one. And then you don't bury it. Let it be there for 7 days or so. And then the excrement, urine and sort of things, they are coming out. You see a disgusting body. Then you go into the mind-made body. You know, it automatically will happen if you see a dead body. And if you say this is disgusting and it's coming from your heart, then you go to the mind-made body. And then you put an expanded mind. Then you go through the arising and passing away phenomena. This is very important. And this is the part that you understand the noble Dhamma, noble teaching. So here, use the examples, the TV example, and the food example, like a cooking with a recipe. You ask a question yourself, do I seek delight in the TV? Do I welcome? Do I remain holding? And then you put a tick, yes, I do. And then by doing that one, do I have the delight? Yes, there is still delight. Then I'll be born because of this one. And the delight as condition, the existence. The delight as condition, the craving, the clinging. Clinging as condition, the existence. Existence of the very same craving. And then you will be born. So you contemplate the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. Now you don't have to cook using the book. You don't have to cook it using the recipe all the time. So you remember. Then you close the recipe and then cook it from the mind. Then you ask, having done, at least you need to do at once, you know, at one part, either form or the feeling, you need to do the arising part, passing away phenomena separately. Having done that one, then you close the recipe and then you ask yourself, how do I let this, you know, disgusting body, dead body type thing come to arise? Then you might get this answer from yourself. It's because of my craving. This, you know, this birth come to be. The suffering come to be. Or because of the existence, the birth come to be. And that is the lucky moment. The moment that you are understanding a link in the dependent origination. Because of the existence, birth come to be. So one can, when someone understand that way, that person become a noble person. Not going to hell or animal realm or the plane of departed after that one. This is the most important part. So for you to make the meditation easy, I will show you dead bodies. And this is the dead body having passed away 2 or 3 days. And the posture in nature, the green color. And then you can see it becomes swollen little by bit, and then sort of the juice, oil type things are sort of coming out, and then the insects, they are coming and covering the body, and now they are fighting to go inside the mouth. They have eaten this particular part, and this is the type of body that I saw. A worm is coming out of the nose and going inside the mouth. A worm is coming out of the mouth and going inside the nose. At that time, my mind became expanded. So I was in the mind-made body. And that was the time I was contemplating the arising and passing away phenomena of the using the concentration discourse. And then you can see this body is getting shrinking is there, and then it is spreading to the other parts of the body, leg, and then the both legs are the nose shrinking and the stomach. And then you can see when you leave a body like that one, because of the sunlight and so on, and in color is changing, the black parts and the white parts over here. And then it is mixing up with the soil. And then you can see it is mixed with the soil. And for this one, we like to have this sort of thing, isn't it? That's what we were seeking, delight, welcoming, remain holy. So that is how the how to do the meditation. So you look at the birth, aging, sickness and death, birth in hell, animal realm, plane of departed, human world. And when it comes to human world, you can think about your birth, how you are now, aging, sickness, death. You need to pass these particular things over here. Don't let the mind slip away. Oh, I am still young. You know, even a 1-year-old baby already subject to aging. Although we have a birthday party, the party is for the aging person. That person is getting closer to the death by 1 year, and we have a party. So understand that one thoroughly. So aging, and then you have the sickness, and then you remember what happened to grandmother, grandfather, cancer and so on, they died. So I will get those things, and then come to the death. So you will visit the funeral house and lie down next to that one, thinking you are dead. You might see a dead body, because, you know, we have been living for a long time now. It's not just this birth. You had many, many births before. So early days, you can see that when people pass away, they just put the body thrown out into the, you know, cemetery or something. So you, with the mind-made body, you go somewhere looking for another place to be born. And then you come back, maybe onto a tree, and then you are looking at the body. You didn't find the house, you didn't find the birth, so you come back, and mind-made body, you are looking at this body. So then you can see vultures have eaten this one, and then, oh, what a disgusting thing. That is one of your former births that you see at that particular time. So then you have the expanded mind, you are in the mind-made body, then you go through the concentration discourse, is very important. So contemplate the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. Having done that one with the examples, you close out the recipe, then you question yourself, how did I make it arise, this disgusting body, like a dead body, going to be a dead body, how did I make it arise? And then you get your own answer, aligned with what Buddha's understanding, that is because of the existence, the birth come to be, or because of my craving, this suffering come to be. So that is your lucky moment.